Libby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 230 on December 18th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider. And for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER. That's RYDER. Plus, if you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the very best choice for you and your partner, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Woohoo! So, patron update. Nobody. Donations. Nobody. Which is fine. You guys have sent me all kinds of stuff. So every once in a while, there's nobody. That doesn't mean I don't have any patrons and I don't have a whole bunch of generous people out there who support me. So moving right along here. My last podcast was all about censorship, and I did want to read this one reply. I just snatched a sentence out of an email because it particularly struck me and made me feel good. You have to hang in there. You offer a service to many troubled souls who are stumbling through life with so many hang-ups placed there by the censorship queens. I would add to that. Thank you for that, by the way. And I would add to that the censorship kings as well. It's just this, actually, kings and queens, I don't believe is an accurate way to describe either one of those. Plus, who knows, there might be non-binary people who are enforcing this censorship BS as well, even though that seems a little contradictory. Nonetheless, I digress. I wouldn't call them kings and queens, and I'm trying really hard to move away from using words meant to be insulting that are anatomy-based. You know, no calling people dicks, no calling people assholes. Let's see. How about you offer a service to many troubled souls who are stumbling through life with so many hang-ups placed there by the clueless censors? How about that? Anyway, it felt good to get that, and thank you for your support and for taking the time to write me. It means a lot. And then I did get a response to my gratitude post back near Thanksgiving. Ms. Ryder, I wanted to say thank you for your post on gratitude and share your sentiments for the holidays. What especially rang true with me was the whole losing weight and feeling younger portion, which matches exactly what I've been going through lately. I am 36, have lost about 30 pounds, I'm still going and feel like I'm in my early 20s again. As I've progressed, I realized that a lot of my weight was being held onto as emotional issues from old relationships, where part of the problem was not being able to honestly ask and give what was needed. Well, congratulations to you. Oh, and it goes on. Your stories have certainly given me a lot to think about in a good way. I'm still learning and wanted to say that I appreciate you presenting a very sexy view born out of the confidence of finding your own way and for you to keep being you. Regards, Paul. Paul, thank you so much for writing that and sending it in. You know, I am still learning how to ask for what I want in some areas of my life. First of all, I want to congratulate you, though, on the weight loss and exercise stuff. Doesn't it feel good? Oh my gosh. I was kind of bummed because 2 days ago I went to the gym and I found out that they were shutting down for their annual cleaning between tomorrow, which will be the 17th, because I'm recording this on the 16th, from the 17th all the way to the 26th. Ouch. So I'm kind of not sure how I'm going to get my exercise in. I suppose I could actually put some leashes on the dogs and walk them around the neighborhood. They would particularly enjoy that. Maybe I will default to that and perhaps like take a few hikes during that period as well. Nonetheless, congratulations to you for getting on that exercise routine and for staying there and losing 30 pounds. And like you say, you're still losing more. I kind of stopped at one, I'm about at 180, 182, right around in there, and I'd really like to get to 175. So I'm trying to get the motivation to jump back in. I haven't stopped the exercise completely. I think the longest period of time I took off was about 6 days, and then I got back into it. So anyway, yay for exercise and yay for losing weight if that's what you want to do. I certainly needed to, and yes, it cracks me up because it's like, you say you feel like you're in your early 20s again. Yeah, it kind of takes about 10 years off, doesn't it? And this really touched my heart that I've given you a lot to think about, and particularly your phrasing here. I present a very sexy view born out of the confidence of finding my own way. In certain areas of my life, I absolutely have confidence, and I certainly have found my way. And then in other areas, I'm still kind of taking the baby steps, learning to ask for exactly what I want, learning to find that balance between asking for what I want and having it be something that works well with my partner, not feeling selfish, not having stories in my head go off when I ask for what I want. Yes, I'm still learning. However, one thing I'm very confident about is sort of the direction that I'm headed, as well as all of this stuff I talk about to you guys on the podcast and holding space for everybody and all of that. Yes. And goodness, I'm a completely different person than I was 10, 11 years ago. Wow. That's when I got divorced the last time. It was when I was 50. So yes, thank you so much, Paul, for sending that letter in. It was lovely to receive. And thanks for being a listener. So, moving right along here, let's see. I touched on sex education for young people in my last podcast, but I neglected to tell you that I put some links to a couple of resources to that effect for all you parents out there in my Linkorama. So I'm going to duplicate them in this Linkorama for this podcast. One of the things I really would like to encourage is all of you out there with kids any age that are still living at home, study up on how to talk to your kids about sex. The very best resource they have can be you, and they would probably prefer that it be you rather than learning about it in porn or learning incorrect things through their friends or learning incorrect things through porn. You get the point. And perhaps if we really make an effort to break the chains of not talking about sex, not educating our kids about it, we can raise a whole generation of much more sex-positive people with much less sexual shame. I have another link that I'm going to add because what popped up in my, who knows, not long for this world perhaps, my Facebook feed this morning was an article by Lene St. John. Let's see, her description of herself, Lene St. John, DHS, I think that's Doctor of Human Sexuality, ACS, ooh, I don't know what that acronym means. Anyway, I'm just going to continue instead of looking it up, is a board-certified sexologist, sexuality educator, and a writer. She received her doctorate in human sexuality from the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, where she focused on child and adolescent sexuality. She develops curriculum, teaches classes, and works with clients to normalize conversations about sexuality between parents and children. Her writing and sex expertise have been featured in various publications, websites, radio shows, and on YouTube. She believes that we must help adults discover a positive outlook on sexuality before they can impart wisdom to the young people in their lives. By teaching parents to nurture the budding sexuality of their children in ways that foster self-respect and acceptance for the totality of their personhood, she helps them raise children who become empowered, beautiful, strong, sexually healthy adults. She often incorporates pop culture, current advertising, music, and movie references into her teachings. Lene is the proud mother of two daughters, aged 13 and 15, with whom she has plenty of practice honing her communication skills and developing techniques to talk about sex that work. She actively embodies her ideas about honesty with sensitivity, empowerment, freedom of expression, and body positivity with her kids. She blogs about sex, parenting, relationships, and gender at themamasutra.net. So what came across my feed was an article called Five Cringeworthy Mistakes That Parents Make About Sex Ed. Yikes. And I'm just going to read you the first paragraph. It's an excellent article. I'm currently ending my time on a local task force of teachers, administrators, parents, and community members to recommend a sex ed curriculum to the school district. We have great conversations about what items we think should be included and what's important. Prior to the task force assembly, a vocal segment of the community protested, and there was much hand-wringing over the topic, so much so that they canceled sex ed for the upper elementary grades. Sixth grade sex ed was quickly reinstated, but not without a fight. So, if that's not a great intro and makes you curious about what happens next, absolutely. So she's got some great information. And with all this training and knowledge, she lists the problem areas that she sees the most that parents make. It's a great read and it's quite eye-opening. And she links to references as well. She has a lot of other excellent articles on her website. So if you're a parent or you have friends who are parents who are not sure how or when to approach this whole sex ed thing and what to say, go look at her stuff. Yay. So yes, the next one, her name is Amy Lang, and she has a website called Birds and Bees and Kids. It's quite catchy. Sexual health education and counseling were her passion for over 16 years. And then she had a child and realized she didn't have a clue as to how to talk to him about sex. She works with the United States Air Force Youth and Family Services programs. Also, she works with the Boys and Girls Clubs. And here's what she writes about herself. My mission is to help every kid grow up to be a whole and healthy adult by teaching the grown-ups who love and care for them how to openly and confidently talk about sexuality. The last link I have for you, and definitely not the least, is Scarleteen. Scarleteen, Sex Ed for the Real World is their byline. And you know what? Yesterday, Scarleteen turned 20 years old. And so let me read you some stuff from their website. Scarleteen is a diverse, inclusive space where we are strongly and actively committed to making and keeping a space that feels as safe as possible for everyone, which honors the diversity of human sexuality and identity. Scarleteen is queer-friendly, parentheses, we're queer-owned and operated, so it'd be pretty odd if we weren't, and inclusive space. We also welcome users of all gender identities, belief systems, ethnicities, economic classes, relationship constructs, and languages. Here are their topics: bodies, gender, sexual identity, relationships, sex and sexuality, sexual health, pregnancy and parenting, abuse and assault, sexual politics, in your own words, advice, and etc. And last but far from least, on Scarleteen, they do offer services for people who need help. So basically, the navigation menu contains links to their message boards, and you have to register real quick with an email, live chat, and also texting services. They will text with you and give you advice and help you out if you need someone to talk to, if you need answers to a question right away. So Scarleteen is amazingly awesome, and the age verification screen that you click through when you go to peggingparadise.com has yes, I'm over 18, or no, get me out of here. If you click no, get me out of here, you're going to go to Scarleteen. That link is always, always there. They're an amazing resource. They have so much great information. And it's just so all-encompassing, so welcoming, so okay, you know, with everything and everybody and everybody's choices. So that link is going to be there too. All right, so moving on from the sex ed. Hey, let's do your letters. This one I found on Reddit. My partner and I don't do pegging often. Actually, the first time happened about 2 years ago, and we've only done that a couple of times since. We both enjoy it, but almost every time we do it, the dildo falls out at some point because I can't really feel when it's nicely and cozily inside him or when it isn't inside anymore. It's not that bad. We usually laugh about it, but it kind of disrupts the rhythm, and I'd like to learn how to prevent it. Does the skill come with more practice? If so, how much practice have you had before you could do it without such interruptions? Or maybe there's something particular I can do to improve it. So, yes, it's all about positions and the length of the dildo. That is pretty much it, even though a large part of this is indeed practice, because you sort of get a sense of how far you can pull it out without it falling out in different positions. But all of that takes a fair amount of practice, and if you've only done it a few times, you're not there yet. So you may want to get a longer dildo. You don't mention what body shape you have. If you are both really, really slender people, you can get away with a shorter dildo that's like 5.5 inches, but at that length, which is fairly short, it's going to fall out more easily in certain positions. Like, say, for example, if your partner's laying face down on the bed, you are laying on top of him and fucking him. It's going to fall out more easily in that position because you're having to get past, if you will, whatever butt cheek tissue there is to fuck him in the ass, right? So for beginners with fairly normal sized bodies, I recommend a dildo length of 6 inches minimum. That allows you a little bit of leeway so that you can pull back and thrust with a little bit more abandon. And if either one of you or both of you are larger bodied people, you're going to want a dildo that's more like 7 inches long. So those are the measurements, and you can upgrade your dildo if you need to. But yeah, if it's too short, it just limits the number of positions you can do without the difficulty of it falling out all the time. So I suspect that that's what's happening with you. So what's a beginner's dildo that is long? The Tantus Sport Long is 7.5 inches insertable. That is the perfect one if you're big-bodied people. It is only available through the Tantus website. That should do it. And I suggest, kiddingly, but somewhat seriously, that you have fun with pegging a little more often and get that practice in, you know? Thanks for the question. Guess what we have now, everybody? You know what I'm going to say. Pegging celebration time. Dear Ruby, I just love the podcast. Such helpful, interesting, and enticing content delivered in a loving and positive way. From your great production value with erotic musical interludes to your delightful chuckle when something tickles you in just the right way, I just can't get enough and look forward to each new episode, having quickly exhausted all of your backlogged episodes. I'm a 43-year-old man from Boston area, and my pegging journey began, I'm not proud to admit, when my loving wife of 19 years confronted me about what she found in my browsing history. That's a little simply stated because I was deleting. She's just a computer whiz, and well, I'm not. After getting over the feeling of violation and being exposed in a way I've never felt before, my wife and I talked about it, and then talked some more. And it was okay. More than okay. My wife accepted me and my kinks and loved me just the same. A day or two later, my wife, who has once said of prostate play, "I'm fine with it as long as you don't want me to peg you," comes up behind me while I was standing at the stove, spatula in hand, presses her pelvis against my tush and whispers in my ear, "I'm going to get you pregnant." So fucking hot. Lusty words were soon replaced by actions as my love began treating me to sessions of bliss that would start with a full body massage and eventually find its way to my little pink ring. She lovingly and slowly massaged and even rimmed me, an act I loved to perform, yet was weirdly insecure at the thought of receiving, until I was a puddle of goo. Then came the insertion of fingers. One at first, then two, then three. Now, though I've yet to have a hands-free orgasm, this is my happy place. I'm not sure if it's the act of submission I love, the intimacy, or not having to run the fuck, but it's exquisite. We eventually got a cheap harness that had, quote, good reviews, end quote, to mount my Vicskin Mustang to, but then it just sat in the drawer for a few months. We were gun-shy and waiting for the other to pull the trigger. One day, with the missus deciding to take the day off work and the kid in school, I took the leap and suggested we give it a try. She quickly agreed. When I returned to the room after a quick clean-out with an enema bulb, I found my ridiculously hot wife donning her ladycock. It was almost too much to take in. At one point, while making out, it kind of flopped onto my thigh. The sight was completely erotic candy to my eyes. But this is where my story is different from others I've heard you read. It was just okay. I don't know if it was first-time jitters or not having the ability to have a prostate orgasm or just not as much fun as fingers and tongue. I really enjoyed the intimacy, the role reversal, and the physical sensations were great, but it wasn't spectacular. The wife has since told me that though she enjoyed it, it didn't do anything for her. She was just kind of neutral about it, but liked the idea of giving me pleasure. I told her that I feel like something is there, that it has the potential to be knock your socks off good, but something was missing. She agreed and has even suggested ways in which we could make it more interesting, so we will definitely be keeping pegging on the table in the future. Despite my lackluster first attempt, I am very excited at the progress and change in my marriage and in myself. My wife and I are much more open and closer than ever. In turn, our love life has improved greatly as well. We now have great communication and don't let things go unsaid anymore. I think that you are truly helping people while being greatly entertaining. Thank you for all the good you do. P.S. I almost always use marijuana when I play. I've read it taps into the pleasure center of the brain and also makes one feel less inhibited. I feel way more erotic under its influence. I would love to try THC-infused lube or even a suppository. Kindest regards, Boston Josh. Boston Josh, congratulations! Goodness, this is a lovely letter to read. You got so descriptive and somewhat poetic. I had to laugh about your wife being a computer whiz and you not. Yeah, you can't hide a whole lot of things from computer whiz partners, that's for sure. But how lovely how it all turned out. I mean, I think that so many of us have that urge to hide things because we fear not being accepted. We fear being judged. We fear bad consequences, bad reactions. But wouldn't it be awesome if we could just take that breath before we hide things and just talk about it, let it out, not hide things to begin with, because the hiding, ooh, it creates this whole space inside you that is uncomfortable, that requires too much vigilance, that requires remembering maybe what not to say, all kinds of different things. It's a tight space, I guess, is the way that I would describe it. And just talking about it creates a looser space, even though it can be very scary to do, and you describe that well, too. So I have a few suggestions which may or may not be workable or desirable for you, too, that you might want to run by her, or maybe she listens to this podcast, I don't know. So it seems that you've had some really pleasurable times with the three fingers and everything, and although you don't really mention that the happy place is because of prostate stimulation, I'm going to assume that. So if she's stimulating your prostate with her fingers and you get to your happy place and you didn't really get there with the toy, the Vicskin Mustang is a dual density toy, so it is softer than many other toys. It is possible that you have a prostate that just needs more firm stimulation. So the next time you guys do some ass play, have her try and check that out with you with her fingers. So by now she knows where the prostate is. Just have her stroke over it very lightly and see what level of pleasure that brings you, and then medium, and then quite firmly. And in this manner, you can try and discern how sensitive your prostate is. If you have a prostate that needs some pretty firm pressure, then you might want to change your choice of toy to something that is more firm silicone. The toy that I can think of that will give you the most intense pressure on your prostate is the Tantus curve. I'll put a link for that in the Linkorama. So it's possible that just with a change of toy, that it's going to change everything. Another possibility is not just the pressure on the prostate, but perhaps you need something with a little bit more texture to it, or waves, or something like that is to consider as well. Because the Mustang is fairly girthy. It sounds from your story like that's the toy you started with because she'd done so much exploration with her fingers. Three fingers is a pretty good measure of a Vixskin Mustang. So, yes, you don't mention if there were any toys beforehand, and it doesn't really matter. I'm going by that size of toy because that's the only one that you mentioned. And the other suggestions I might have are playfulness in terms of her owning perhaps a little bit of dominance and tying you up and ordering you to ride her or something along those lines. It's possible that whereas it wasn't all that exciting for you when she pegged you the first time, that if she was laying on her back looking all beautiful and she orders you to ride her and you had your hands handcuffed behind your back and she's jerking you off, it might send you to the fucking moon. Just some ideas, you know. I have a lot of ideas that go through my head. The other thing you can do is to incorporate a butt plug, like a vibrating butt plug that she has a remote on, and have that be part of the foreplay, because that's going to get things all stirred up in there and send you to a bit of a happy place already. And let's see, another suggestion would be to abstain for a while, for a few days beforehand, and do some edging and get yourself really cranked up. That would be another great suggestion that you might want to try. And know that this is the way it goes for some guys, for some couples. When it does go this way in the beginning, that doesn't at all mean that you cannot get to the knock your socks off place. Sometimes it's just a matter of exploration, adjusting equipment, throwing a little fantasy in there, a bunch of different stuff. So yes, congratulations again. And thanks for letting me know about the marijuana stuff, because ever since I did the interview with Ashley Manta, I'm quite interested in how this affects everything. And clearly, I have my own fears about exploring some stuff because I still have those two samples of Foria on my desk, and I still have not used them. However, my favorite play partner has told me that he's going to come up and spend 2 days with me sometime over the holidays. So I'm definitely going to be using one of them, at least one of them, and hopefully one before then so I can do a solo play session because I'd like to experience both. Okay, so Josh, yay, congratulations. Thanks for writing in and telling me the story. Happy to play the music for you, dude. Yay. Okay, here's the next letter. You're incredibly sexy, and I hope you don't mind me saying it's kind of super fucking hot that at 61 years old, you're running around teaching men how to be good sluts and take a strap-on pounding like a man. I listened to your friend who had the strap-on gangbang. Wow, that sounded amazing. And I loved all the discussions you two had about consent. So fascinating. Particularly the part where she wanted to make him suck her strap on, but it was not agreed to prior. Is there a consent where you can consent to be open to changes during the act? Also, I just want to say thank you for all you do for kinky people wanting to learn about pegging. You're very warm and welcoming, like the fairy godmother of strap on fucking. I think that's the first time anyone's ever called me that. And my first impulse is to open up my Word document thing, put those words, fairy godmother of strap-on fucking, enlarge them, make them pretty, like in a calligraphy font, print it out, and put it on the wall along with all of these other quotes that inspire me and tickle me and warm my heart that you people have sent me over the years. Because that's what it looks like around my office and my desk. Fairy godmother of strap-on fucking. Okay, so let's get to your letter. I had to laugh about your first sentence because I don't really run around teaching men how to be good sluts except for with words. I don't know. There's part of me that thought that you meant I just run around fucking all kinds of men and teach them how to be sluts. And yes, I do fuck a number of men, but that's not quite how I teach them, necessarily. Anyway, there was a part of me that clearly is not comfortable with anyone thinking that I am so sexually active that I could be described as running around teaching men how to be good sluts. And that's my issue. It's not you. It's not yours. And the rest of the sentence is, and teach them how to take a strap-on pounding like a man. Well, what the hell is that? Take it like a man. Let go of the masculine references here. So what words would I put in there instead of take it like a man? What are some great substitute words? Because that one is sort of like, you know, why wouldn't you say take it like a woman? I don't know. But that's a weird thing. I want to change that word. Without getting too deep into it, I suppose you could just say take it like a champ. There you go. Because that doesn't refer to gender. And it's fine. So now that I have completely dissected your first sentence and talked about my objections, let's go on to the other part of it. Now you mentioned, is there a way that you can consent to be open to changes during the act? Usually in the BDSM world and kinky world, when you do negotiations, you stick to what was negotiated. However, there are people who know each other well enough, whether they are occasional play partners, frequent play partners, life partners, house partners, you know, domestic partners, that kind of thing, where they know each other well enough that they have a blanket consent with each other. So I suppose in a gangbang situation, that one of the things that could have been done is to ask the wife of the guy who was getting gangbanged, and that he could have given her permission to decide if someone wanted to change something or offer something new. She could be the one to decide because she knows him well enough. That's the only way I could think of where that could work. But yeah, it's fairly common for people who are very intimate with each other to have complete blanket consent with each other. But the reason that negotiations are so important in a group is because you don't necessarily know each other all that well. So yeah, that's what I have to say about that. Thank you for your kind words about what I do for all the kinky people that want to learn about pegging. And thank you especially for calling me the fairy godmother of strap-on fucking. Oh my gosh. Okay, here's my next letter. Hello, Ruby. I love your work and I admire your courage. Thank you for creating social acceptance of the subject. I think that penetration creates a new equality between men and women. I see this as a sacred act that connects all genders. It helps us connect with our spirit guides because all humans have anal awareness, as we are reminded when we relieve ourselves. I have come to conclude that an interest in anal stimulation softens men, and that is a good thing. The risk is that we become bottoms, quote unquote, and come to crave the penis. Not having experienced that, I am in an awkward position, being married and unable to suppress my curiosity. I do believe that it is a sacred thing, and there should be a priestess and a priest in a temple where I could go to get what I need without betraying my wife. I think the world would be a better place if we integrated the sexual with the sacred. Best regards, Eric in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Eric, wow, that's quite a letter. You are definitely leaning into the spiritual side of things, and I think there's absolutely a place for that. Let me see a couple of things that you wrote here. I would agree with you that when men become interested in anal stimulation and receiving it and enjoy it, it does tend to soften them. I was asked one time when I taught a class to quite a large crowd if I had noticed that men become more peaceful when they've been pegged. And although I'd never encountered that exact word, I've absolutely seen them soften and heard tales of them softening, being more aware, being more considerate to their partners and things like this. And then you go on to say the risk is that you become bottoms and come to crave the penis. I don't know if that's necessarily a risk or not. I suppose if you have an underlying bi-curiosity, then it would be a risk. But it's not necessarily a risk to someone who doesn't have a bi-curiosity. There are plenty of men out there who love pegging and really have no interest in real penises at all. It sounds like you do have a bi-curiosity. And that, let's see, you're in an awkward position being married and unable to suppress your curiosity. So, and then you mentioned it would be lovely to get it as a sacred thing. I'm not so sure about that, because it seems like in religion, there tends to be constructs that are created to try and make people comfortable with certain things. Certainly, there's a lot of constructs that make people uncomfortable with things. But as opposed to just owning it and talking to your partner, to have it be a religious thing seems to somehow take away some of the owning it and responsibility of it, and sort of ride it off to, well, this is a sacred thing and it's being conducted by a priest and a priestess, so it's all okay. I don't know. There's a way that religion does that that I'm not sure if I agree with. However, I don't mean to rain on your parade here. What I do think is that it would be lovely if there was a way that men could get prostate stimulation, prostate massage, to keep their prostates healthy. And of course, inherent in that is probably going to be a fair amount of pleasure. There are definitely massage therapists out there that are sex workers as well that offer prostate massage. And there are still doctor's offices here and there who know that prostate massage is a way to keep prostates healthy and treat swollen prostates. So some doctor's offices offer it as well. But I do wish that it were much more common and much more available and seen as kind of like a therapy. I think the reason that it's not seen as a therapy or as a sacred thing is because so much sexuality is all wrapped up into it. And I get what you said before, that the world would be a better place if we integrated the sexual with the sacred. For some people, yes, absolutely. That would create one more place where people could explore their sexuality and one more way that they could explore it. I don't think it's for everyone, but I think it would be a great thing to have more of in this world. The way that porn is so ubiquitous, and kabuki show and pretend, seems to me to be the pendulum swinging in the other direction from what you're talking about. And I do feel like it would be great if more intimacy, which is sort of a word I connect up with sacredness, were more common in all sexual acts, and especially in pegging, absolutely. I mean, pegging is a very intimate thing, but just sex in general. But you know me, I'm all over the map here, but I'm going to keep going. You know me, I hold space for everybody, and there's plenty of room for the no strings attached, friends with benefits type of relationship, casual sex things as well. But I really appreciate your letter. And I hope you find what you're looking for. Thank you for writing in, Eric. And thanks for all your kind words about my work. My next letter, here we go. Dear Ruby, I just listened to your podcast on introducing and proposing pegging to my female partner, podcast number 112, and could really use some advice pertaining to my specific situation. So my girlfriend and I have been seeing each other for close to a year, and in this time the amount of sexual satisfaction I have given her far outweighs the satisfaction I have received, and I assure you it is not at all for lack of effort on her part. We are both in our mid-20s and have a peculiar relationship, but one that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. I should note that she is a sexual assault survivor, so we do not partake in what is considered regular intercourse. She does not like to be penetrated, and I am 100% fine with this, and would never ask her to do anything that would make her uncomfortable, and never ever anything she doesn't fully consent to. That being said, I usually give her multiple orgasms every chance I get through oral sex, and I've gotten very good at this. I might even say I have mastered my art of bringing wave after wave of ecstasy to her until she is so drained she doesn't even want to move. She absolutely loves it. But when it comes to pleasuring me, although she tries with every fiber of her being, she has not been able to satisfy anywhere near as close to as I do for her. I'm bisexual, and she is well aware of this. I have never been taken by a man, and I don't wish to be, but I do enjoy my prostate being played with, and I have used toys on myself before and had the most mind-blowing orgasms of my life. I'm so unsure of how she may react to me expressing my desires for her to enter me with a strap-on, and not only that, but it may help her sexually to be in control and to be doing the penetrating. She comes from a somewhat religious family and has been fairly vanilla in her sexual desires thus far in our relationship, but on the kinkier side of things, I have eaten her ass out before and she seemed to greatly enjoy it. I know I seem to just be rambling on about our sex life, But what I am really looking for is what to say in this conversation I want to have with her. I do have this overwhelming desire for her, and specifically her, to enter me and be in control of what is happening in the bedroom. I want her to fuck me because of the immense pleasure it would bring me, and because she would be the one doing it. But I could settle for a butt plug in my ass while she gives me head for a start. I've expressed my desire to her that sometimes I don't want to be in control in the bedroom, but that conversation seemed to go nowhere, so I haven't brought up the idea of my butt being played with, although I am fully prepared for her to reject the idea. Is there any advice you can offer? Sorry for the lengthy email, but I am in a particular circumstance and needed to give you all of the details. Thank you, Thomas. Thomas. Okay, let's unpack this a little bit. First of all, I want to comment on, as far as keeping your side of the street clean, at least the sexual part of it, you do seem to be excelling, sir. And I congratulate you on that. That's excellent, because the more happy she is and the more satisfied she is sexually, especially because she is an assault survivor and you guys don't do PIV, which is normal penis and vagina intercourse, and that's totally okay with you. It would seem likely that she would be highly motivated to keep you happy as well. It's possible that she just really doesn't quite know where to start. I'm glad that you say that she knows you're bisexual, because that gives you just a bit of a foot in the door, in my opinion. And the way that I would probably approach it is to tell her that you have discovered through self-play that you have some amazingly pleasurable sensations in your ass. So you looked it up on the internet and you checked things out and you discovered that, yay, men have sort of like a G-spot in their ass. And you would love to explore this with her and just get really excited about it. Reassure her, as you did in your letter several times, that you want her and only her. Although you do identify as bisexual, you are quite happy with her and you have no interest in going out and experimenting with another man. But you do have a lot of interest and intrigue and excitement about exploring being penetrated by her. Now, here's where you need to really check in with her because of the assault survivor stuff. I don't know how she might react to being the penetrator on that side of things. And I suppose how I would approach it, sort of instinctively, is to mention that that's what you're interested in, but that you very first wanted to make sure that it wasn't something that would trigger her or upset her in any way that has to do with the assault. It's indeed possible that she may find some element of being empowered, and that could be a positive thing for the trauma that she's been through with the assault, but it's really impossible to know that. Now, you may not get a really clear response right off the bat because factors of the assault trauma may also be intertwined with myths and misconceptions. Normally, we just have to deal with myths and misconceptions, but the primary thing that you need to be really, really careful of here is the assault and triggering that. So it might be a little difficult to get a really clear response right off the bat. But what I would try and do is to say, look, I don't want this to be something that triggers you because of the assault stuff. I want to be really, really clear about that. And I don't want you to do something that you don't want to do. However, I would love to explore this with you, and I would love for you to listen to this with me, because I have discovered that there's lots of misconceptions that people have about this whole pegging thing. And if you just sit and listen to this with me, we can hit the pause anytime you have a question, and then you can think about it for as long as you need to, and then we can talk about it some other time or right afterwards or whatever you want to do, whatever feels comfortable to you. Hopefully she says yes, and you turn on podcast number 112. And you could go on to say, but I have such a strong craving to share with you the levels of pleasure that I found that I can give myself with these toys, kind of like how I leave you like a wet rag after all of the oral sex I give you and you really, really love it. I would love for you to be able to do that for me as well. And I think this might be a way that we can do that. So off the top of my head, that's a sample script. Modify it as you feel moved, because some of it may not apply. And then I think it's also a really good idea for you to suggest, hey, how about if I just put a butt plug in while you give me head? And then just tell her this one thing, that men who have orgasms from simultaneous stimulation of their prostate and penile stimulation describe those orgasms as being roughly 10 times as powerful as a normal one. So that might be a great place to start, is to put that butt plug in, maybe even get a vibrating one and give her the remote if she has any interest in that at all. Have her give you head, and then she will see how much different it is. She will maybe hear you make noises you've ever made. Maybe you're going to be, you know, shooting that down her throat harder than you usually do. You know, I'm not sure how you guys do all that. But she'll notice that it's much more intense. And then just keep your excitement. Keep your excitement there. And reassure her and tell her, look, we can just take this really slow. And I don't want you to do anything you're uncomfortable with. But this is something I'm really, really interested in. So I'd like you to consider it seriously. And here is a place where you can get all kinds of information, and you can send her to pegging101.com. Do not send her to peggingparadise.com. That's got too many kinky things in there. Send her to pegging101 because all the kink is out and it's just informational articles only. That would be the place for her. And I think it'll work. I'm crossing my fingers for you, and I'm crossing my dildos for you, Thomas. I look forward to hearing from you again and you telling me to play the music, because I think this is all going to work out just fine. Once you've kind of opened up the conversation around all that, then you can lean into other things little by little about how, could you run the show tonight? Can you figure out what we're going to do? Because I've just had a hell of a day at work, and could you take over? Because that would fucking rock. You know, that's another sample script, and maybe it's not as polished, but you get the point. Anyway, good luck to you, Thomas. I hope to hear back from you. Please do let us know how it goes. And here's another letter. This one was titled Missing Out. Okay, this is not easy. See, men are told sex is vaginal penetration or her butt, not yours. I'm a straight male, 50s, but very active and in shape. I love what you teach. I wish I found your work years ago. I have longed for ass play forever. My wife once used a vibe on me 20 years ago. It never returned. And then all in caps, this guy writes, I try talking, but she will not go there. I will not push her, ever, but I wish she could find pleasure in it. She does not like slapping. She has had an abusive man in her past. I would give her anything in bed. I would let her do anything to me, but it's just vaginal penetration sex, no oral anymore. I don't want a divorce. Any help would be nice. Please don't use my name. Missing out will do. Thanks you. Share a healthy sex life for all. There's a word missing there somewhere. Nonetheless, I get what you're trying to say, sir. So here's the deal. The very first comment I'm going to make is on your sentence, she does not like slapping. Yeah, I don't like slapping either. I really have to admit I had a reaction to that. It sounds like you're trying to incorporate a little bit of BDSM into your relationship. So moving away from that, let's just talk in general about the sexual relationship that you have. If you've been listening to my podcast, you've heard me talk about making sure your side of the street is clean. Are you being the best husband you can be to her? Are you trying your best to help her with the chores, cook dinner for her once in a while, treat her really nice, send her to the moon sexually in whatever way she likes the best, even if it's just vaginal penetration and that's it? To make a lot of effort to keep her as happy as possible in all the ways you can think of. Because if you do that, that's the first step, because then what you're going to have is a wife who's happy, and at least more happy, and is motivated to give you what you want as well. The second step is communication. Do you guys communicate about sex? When you mention the thing about you try talking about it, but she will not go there, that's something that needs to change. And depending on how averse she is to talking about sex at all depends on where you need to start. If you're in your 50s and you guys sound like you've been together for a while, because you said 20 years ago she used a vibe on you, the first thing I might try is just telling her that you remember that so fondly and you loved that. and you would really, really like to do that again. Now, I don't know. This may be what you have tried to talk with her about, and you said she won't go there. If she just flat out refuses to talk with you, then I think what needs to happen is you need to come to her and say, okay, look, we need to start talking about sex. And if we can't talk about sex with each other, then we need to go to a counselor and talk about sex. Because this is not okay that we never, ever talk about it. We're in our 50s. There's so much more to explore and so much more pleasure to be had. And I would like to go there with you. I'm excited about going there with you. I love you. You're my wife. And there's so many different things I want to explore. And I never want you to do something that you don't want to do. I'm wanting to explore. And let me reiterate, I want to explore with you. So if you can't talk with me about this, then maybe we should go to a counselor and then we could talk about it. Now, one of the suggestions as well is that you guys go to Mojo Upgrade. And I'm put the link for that in the Linkorama. That's a place where you go and register. The two of you register and then you kind of connect your accounts. And then there's a ton of things where it says, would you be willing to do this sexually? And you say yes, no, or maybe. What it does is it combines all of your answers and then gives you a list. If both of you say yes, those are on there. If one of you said yes and one of you said maybe, those are on there. If both of you said maybe, it's on there. But if either one of you said no, those things are not going to be on there at all. It's possible that she's going to say no to a lot of things, but ideally, it might at least offer a few more things that you can explore, because slow but steady is what is going to win the race here. You want to really carefully and slowly and patiently and persistently and at the same time kindly and respectfully keep leaning in to wanting to explore a little bit more sexually. When I was talking about what you might say to her about going to counseling, don't put that edge of, look, if you can't talk to me, we need to go to a counselor. Don't ever do that. Soften. Open up. Think about what it might be like to be her if she's really vanilla and she's just not been exposed to all these things. And she may have a lot of fears and she may have misconceptions about what that would be like. Or perhaps she has some abuse in her background. You mentioned that she didn't like to get slapped because she had an abusive man in her past. Maybe he was sexually abusive to her too. It's really hard to say. But try and put yourself in her position and just really slowly suggest these things. And do ask her kindly, openly, without resentment, for counseling if you feel like the communication isn't going to happen any other way. Somehow the conversation needs to get started. And yeah, you say you don't want a divorce, but you are a healthy man in your 50s, and I'm quite sure you have a healthy sexuality. So at some point in time, if she just keeps putting the walls up and saying no, 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 no matter what you try, and I don't know, I'm just throwing a time frame out there. If you keep trying anything you can for, you know, months and months, like 6 months, let's say, and every step of the way she says no, then at the 6 month mark, say, okay, so I've suggested all kinds of things and you've shot me down every single time. I have sexual needs. So if you would like to explore them with me, and this is all going to be consensual, again, I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do, then let's go to a counselor and learn how to talk about sex. Or give me permission to explore this outside of the marriage because I love you and I don't want to divorce you and I don't want to leave you. But it's not fair for you to expect me to just put all of these sexual needs in a box and never have them fulfilled for the rest of my life. I want to explore them with you. Please explore with me. Again, sample script might not be the best, but hopefully it gives you some ideas. So yes, clean up your side of the street, work on the communication, and then gently and slowly start exploring. And I'm hoping that what you'll find out is that as you two start exploring together, the pleasure, the intimacy, the relationship will deepen, and she will become more and more open to doing new things with you, to listening what you have to say, and she'll let go of her automatic no. Hopefully she'll move into the territory of having an automatic maybe instead of an automatic no. So I feel for you, sir. Good luck to you, and let us know how it goes. And a couple of more letters I'm going to squeeze in here quick before we run out of time. I'm a bisexual male who really enjoys receiving anal sex, but it seems that of recently I am finding it less pleasurable. I so badly want to experience the intense pleasures I used to feel when being penetrated, whether it be solo or with a partner. It's not so much the physical sensations as it is the emotional part of it that is lacking. As of recently, I have resorted to using poppers to enhance my experiences, and it has done wonders. I have had some extremely pleasurable and intense experiences experimenting with this substance. However, I would like to bring back those same feelings that I used to feel in a more natural way without the use of drugs. Are there any professionals out there that can help me with my dilemma? Thank you, Brian. So I have to admit, I'm not really sure what you're asking, because you're talking about professionals that can help you with your dilemma. The very first thing I thought of is like a sex coach, not one who is a sexual surrogate, which is a different thing. A sexual surrogate will go there with you and teach you about it and be your partner. And then there are sex coaches who will be there with you with your partner, or perhaps not there with your partner, but will teach you how things to do and give you homework and things like that. And interestingly enough, Tiffany does that. She definitely does that. So that's a possibility, and she can do this all with phone calls. And I'll put a link for you to connect with her if you like. But you mentioned the emotional part of it is lacking. That seems to speak to more of your connection or lack thereof with your partner. I could be wrong here, but that's the first thing that it makes me think of. So it feels like this is a bit above my pay grade, which is why I'm going to put the link to connect with Tiffany if you would like to connect with a sex coach. There are some sexual surrogates around. There are a few in San Diego. I do not know where you are located, but that is something you might be able to find on the internet if that's what you're looking for. It's possible that something emotional, psychological is blocking you from opening up to the degree that you used to, and that is a counseling issue. You know, the very first thing I read on this podcast about the young man who had lost 30 pounds and found out that he was holding on to all that weight because of past relationship issues and not being able to ask for what he wanted. It's possible something like that's happening with you. It might be completely different, but you're holding on to a past issue and aren't even aware that it's something that you are holding on to or need to work through, and it's preventing you from enjoying things as much as you are able to, or as much as is possible. So those are my suggestions. I'll put links to ASECT, which is a way to find counselors that are sex positive, and Tiffany, as I mentioned, and that is pretty much my suggestion. You might want to try using marijuana and seeing how that works. I know that you say you want to get back to the natural way without the use of drugs, but it would be interesting just in terms of collecting information about your situation to see how it's affected with pot. That might be one more good piece of information to give the counselor or your sex coach or something like that. So I wish you the best, Brian. Thanks for writing in. I wish I had some magic wand answers for you, but I don't. It could be a number of things. So I'll give you the resources, and good luck to you, sir. This email is labeled dildo size. We are new to pegging, but love it. My boyfriend enjoys a diameter of less than 1 inch, more like 7/8 of an inch or 3/4, and 7 to 8 inches long. Problem is, we can't find such measurements in any store. Searched on Amazon, Eden, and others. Most beginners' dildos are too short and maybe 1/2 inch in diameter, but then they jump up to over 1 inch and, of course, bigger and bigger. Can you suggest some stores that have what we're looking for? We would be forever grateful. Thank you, Ruby. No, I can't. Sadly, this is not something that is made. The longest you're going to get with anything under 1 inch is 6 inches long. The 7 to 8 inches long is just not something that's made, sadly. And if anybody knows different, please do let us know, because that is something that's sadly needed. There are people who, when they first start pegging, really are uncomfortable with 1 inch or 1 1/4 inches, and they want something less than 1 inch. And the one that I'm talking about that has those measurements is 6 inches in length and 7/8 of an inch in diameter, is the new Fuse dildo. And let's see, that's called the Fuse Star Slim. And I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama. 7/8 of an inch in diameter and 6 inches long. But anything longer than that, I have never been able to find, sadly. It might be long enough, but the reason that I've been looking for it is because bigger bodied people need to have longer toys. And there is absolutely a portion of men out there that are not comfortable starting in an inch and a quarter. Most of them are inch and a quarter in diameter, I mean. But there are other ones who just, it's not comfortable for them, and they would really like something thinner. For all of you out there who are looking for a 7-inch long toy, inch and a quarter in diameter, the Tantus Sport Long fits those measurements. It does have that hook at the end, so it's going to give you more intense prostate stimulation than something that is straight. However, at least it's long enough. At least it's the 7 inches. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the only place that you can get that is on the Tantus website, and that's TantusIncorporatedInc.com. If you just go to Tantus.com, it's something entirely different. All right, so yes, I wish I had the dildo for you, but that's the best I can do for you. And my last letter, this is titled, Reality or Fantasy, a Dilator Harness. My wife wanted to sub. She showed me a few web pages for plugs and a chastity belt. That equipment looks more like costume wear than something you'd wear at home for more than a few minutes. We were looking at this as play or conditioning so she could take several fingers at a time. This is not intended as punishment or pain. Are there quality harnesses and dilators we should look at? Or is this a fantasy that should not be made real because you can't get there from here? You were the first person that came to mind when I wanted an expert opinion. Well, I'm honored that I am the first person that came to mind. Here's my question. And this does matter a little bit. Were you wanting to do vaginal dilation or anal dilation? You don't really mention. Nonetheless, I do think that I have a solution for you. The Aslan leather harnesses, whether the Minx or the Jaguar, and I'll put the link to both of those in the Linkorama, have a little piece of leather that is designed to slide along the straps in between your legs and hold either a butt plug. You could use it to hold something in your vagina as well. So if you're looking to dilate the vagina, then you can get a bigger plug or a dildo and put it in that little strap of leather, fasten it in there, and then just put the harness on. It will probably work better if it's for anal dilation, because if you think about the spacing, the double up cuff, as it's called, is meant to be used while someone's getting pegged, and a good fit for a pegging harness is such that the base of the toy is in the vulva area over the clitoral region. So that's really close to the opening of the vagina, like really close. So for that strap of leather to slide up and hold a dildo in the vagina, I don't think is possible unless there's more space, and she's just built differently, between the opening of her vagina and her clitoris. But take a look at it and see what you think, because it has a lot of possibilities. And the thing is that it's quite comfortable. So if you're just looking for a harness to hold in a butt plug or potentially a dildo in her vagina, this harness could do it. I'm almost positive it could do vaginal. I'm really positive it could do for anal. It's perfect for anal dilation and to hold plugs in. If you're looking for something that's lockable, yeah, I can't help you with that. You're going to have to figure that out on your own. And if you're looking for something that prevents her from putting anything in her vagina while her ass is being dilated, yeah, this harness won't do that either. But it will definitely be something that she can wear with a plug in her ass so that it dilates it and she can wear it for longer periods of time. I'm going to put those links in the Linkorama for you. And I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama to the picture of the double up cuff showing it being used. Okay, so there you go. Thanks for the letter. My next webinars are January 6th and January 26th. Those are both beginning webinars. And I'm working hard on the other stuff I told you I'd be working on through the month of December. I'm making great strides on the How Do I Find a Woman to Peg Me webinar. I'm going to be really excited to share all that information with whoever's interested. That will be available definitely in January sometime. And that is it for this time. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum, or pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page as long as it lasts. Oh my God, someday I'm going to stop saying that, hopefully. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, don't forget to use that coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too unbelievable, too unreasonable, or too unauthentic. Many listeners will learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox. Or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.